not a sinner.
Maybe it's something as simple as you whistle while you work.
Just whistle while you work.
So far, Pastor Haggard, you've kept that commandment perfectly today.
So far today, that particular one, yes.
The fact is, I am guilty of sexual immorality.
Happy Ramadan, Abdul.
Well, while most Christian apologists have taken the discovery of this pre-New Testament stone tablet, whereupon it is alleged there is writing about a suffering, dying, and resurrected Messiah that predates the New Testament, they've taken this as no great challenge to Christianity. Our guest for the first 15 minutes here of Issues, Etc. today has a different tack on this. He says it presents a bigger problem, not to Christianity, but to liberal Bible scholarship. Dr. Ben Witherington will join us here to talk about this archaeological discovery that you may have seen written about in the New York Times. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We're coming to you live this Thursday. It's the 10th of July. Our call-in number, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE, and our in-studio email address, talkback@issuesetc.org. After a short conversation with Dr. Ben Witherington, Colleen Carol Campbell will join us from the Ethics and Public Policy Center here in St. Louis to talk about teen sex. She's written a column in the St. Louis Post-Dispatch about that today. And Brian Gadowell will join us for the remainder of the program to do a summer movie review, a movie I'm going to go see tonight, by the way, after I order myself some pizza. I'm playing The Bachelor this week in the Wilkin compound, and that means I get to go see a movie tonight. I'm going to go see Hancock, since it's making all the money, and I like Will Smith, and we'll see what the movie's all about. I like talking with Brian Gadowell about the character arc. I think there's some of that in Hancock. We'll see. 1-877-623-MYIE. Dr. Ben Witherington is professor of New Testament interpretation at Asbury Theological Seminary in Wilmore, Kentucky. He's author of more than 30 books, including The Jesus Quest and The Paul Quest. Dr. Witherington, welcome back to Issues, Etc.
Good to be with you.
You say that this discovery of this stone tablet may represent a bigger problem for liberal Bible scholarship than it does for historic Christianity. What do you mean?
Well, let's back up and say, do we think the stone is authentic? Yes, I think it is. The inscription of some 80-plus lines has got lots of holes in it. But if you take a maximalist interpretation of it, there may be, underline the word may, a reference to the resurrection of a messianic figure, maybe even the death and a resurrection of a messianic figure. Now, why is this important? Well, for a very long time, liberal scholars have said, you remember all those passion predictions in the gospel where Jesus says the Son of Man must suffer many things and be handed over and be killed and on the third day rise? Well, what liberal scholarship says about that is that's all later Christian theology retrojected into the mouth of Jesus in the gospels. He didn't actually say that. That was later Christian theologizing after the fact. Well, if in fact there is an early Jewish tablet that mentions a messianic figure that dies and then is vindicated by resurrection beyond death, and clearly one completely independent of any Christian community, this is a Jewish tablet, well then we have evidence from early Judaism, quite apart from the Gospels, that somebody was reflecting on the idea of a dying and rising Messiah. What this also would do is remind those other kinds of liberal scholars that we don't have to go to the mystery religions or Egyptian pagan religion to find the idea of a dying and rising Messiah. It's not likely that Christianity cribbed that idea from Egyptian religion only when the church was becoming increasingly Gentile and still had a pagan past in those churches. No, this idea is already there in early Judaism. It's there before the time of Jesus. We do have texts like Daniel 12 that refers to resurrection from the dead. We do have texts like Isaiah 53 that talks about a suffering messianic figure. So, Yahtzee! Now we have perhaps further evidence that Jesus was part of a larger conversation about a dying and rising messianic figure.
Okay, then what do you make of the claim, and this is made by, as far as I can tell, a single Bible scholar who is taking that maximalist approach to the writing on this tablet.
Right.
filling in a lot of the blanks and saying, in essence, and I get this from the New York Times, saying, in essence, well, what must have happened then, of course, is that Jesus, an otherwise perhaps remarkable rabbi, took up this idea, popular among some sect of Judaism, of a dying and rising Messiah, adopted it for his own mission in life, and kind of lived it out that way. How would you respond to that particular spin on this discovery?
Well, if I understand what Professor Ganol from Hebrew University is actually claiming, he's actually at least insinuating that the stories in the Gospels could be cribbed from this idea from earlier Judaism and not be historically factual stories. That seems to me to be what Professor Ganol is trying to say. That's certainly not what you just said. What you just said, I don't have a problem with, the idea that Jesus had heard of the idea before and then applied it to himself and then lived it out. I have no problems with that idea.
All right. I guess you and I'm not sure exactly whether or not I would agree with you there. I think that he didn't have to adopt anything. I think he came with this as his mission.
Yeah. And that's true, but it would not be problematic if he was part of a larger conversation about what Messiah would look like and whether it would include death and resurrection.
I see what you're saying there. Okay, then. Let's talk about the discovery itself. This piece of rock and what exactly it is and what would I be looking at if I were to be able to lay eyes on it?
Well, first of all, it's a stone that's now in three parts, so it's been broken. It appears to be a stone that was a standing stone, perhaps part of some kind of cave or compound at some point. The problem with it is that it's unprovenanced, by which I mean that we don't know where it came from. It came onto the antiquities market. A antiquities collector in Israel bought it, and we have no idea what its point of origin is. Now, it has been suggested that because of the nature of the stone and what it says, it's an eschatological script. It mentions the Archangel Gabriel. It uses a lot of eschatological language that would be consistent with the suggestion that it came out of the Dead Sea community. It's been suggested that this may be another Dead Sea text. I don't have a problem with that. That's perfectly possible. What's unique about it is that it is ink on stone. Normally what you do with stone is carve it. You know, you engrave an inscription on stone. No, this is ink on stone, and the ink has been chemically tested and is good. The dating for it seems to be good, first century B.C. So it's a very interesting discovery indeed, and it may provide us with more evidence that in early Judaism there was a lot of eschatological or end-time ferment and fervor. And there was a lot of speculation about the role that Messiah would play in that particular scenario. So, I mean, this would be one more piece of evidence that helps us understand the early Jewish matrix out of which Jesus and early Christianity came.
This is also, I would think, some very good evidence that, as you've put it here, the conversation was afoot. A messianic conversation was afoot. Whether people were getting it right or not, there was, as the New Testament attests, to an eager expectation at this time, especially around John the Baptist and Jesus, for a messianic figure to appear.
Exactly. And, you know, if I'm going to look at this from a Christian theological point of view, I mean, we hear in Paul's letters, and now when the time had fully come, Christ was born of woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law out from under the law. Now, that first phrase, when the time had fully come, if you have a view that God has providentially woven history together and planted seeds and ideas in the minds of Jews all the way back in Old Testament times and in the exile with texts like Isaiah 53 and then beyond that, preparing the way for the coming of John the Baptist, who is the forerunner of the messianic figure, the one who would be greater than him, then this is just another piece of evidence of what extensive work God did to prepare the way so that when Jesus came and talked about himself in certain ways and in certain lights, the conversation would make sense to the audience.
When we come back from this break, we're going to continue our conversation for a few minutes with Dr. Ben Witherington, professor of New Testament interpretation at Asbury Theological Seminary, Wilmore, Kentucky, author of more than 30 books, including The Jesus Quest and The Paul Quest. We're talking about the discovery of a pre-New Testament stone tablet that has writing on it. And the writing, while it is fragmentary, might, by some readings, describe a resurrected Messiah. Our call-in number this Thursday, the 10th of July, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943, or email us right here in studio, talkback@issuesetc.org. In a few minutes, Colleen Carroll Campbell will join us. We'll talk about teen sex. She's St. Louis-based fellow at the Ethics and Public Policy Center and author of the book The New Faithful. She has a weekly column in the St. Louis Post-Dispatch, and she deals with the issue of teen sex in today's column. Then Brian Gadawa joins us for a summer movie review. It's 4th of July has come and gone, and that means it's the summer movie season. Lots of good, lighthearted summer movies. We'll talk about as many of them as we can with Brian Gadawa, a screenwriter from Southern California and author of the book Hollywood Worldviews, Watching Films with Wisdom and Discernment, coming up in about a half hour here on Issues, Etc. When we come back, more with Dr. Ben Witherington on the Stone Tablet. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues, Etc.
Sounds of rich liturgy and historic Christian worship. What a way to spend a Sunday morning. At Trinity Lutheran Church in Millstadt, Illinois, you'll find authentic Christianity as you hear the preaching of Christ crucified for the forgiveness of your sins. Come, join us Sunday mornings at 9 and Monday evenings at 7:30, and find out more about Trinity Lutheran Church, Millstadt, Illinois, at trinitymillstadt.org.
Will your church be one of the Issues, Etc. 300? Hi, this is Todd Wilkin. We're looking for 300 congregations of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod to pledge $1,000 to Issues, Etc. in their budgets. To find out more about the Issues, Etc. 300, look for the sponsors section at our homepage, issuesetc.org. Please consider including Issues, Etc. in your church's mission or advertising budget. The Issues, Etc. 300.
Talk radio for the thinking Christian. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Issues, Etc. is listener-supported. That means we rely on you for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Hi, this is Todd Wilkin. Please consider making a gift to Issues, Etc. today. You can donate online, issuesetc.org, or by check, Issues, Etc., Box 1046, SJC, California, 92693. Box 1046, SJC, California, 92693. Thanks for your support of Issues, Etc.
618-223-8384. It's the new phone number for the Issues, Etc. listener comment line. 618-223-8384. Leery about calling a live radio talk show? Want to remain anonymous? Leave your recorded question or comment on the Issues, Etc. comment line. 618-223-8384. The good, the bad, the ugly. We're big boys. We can take it. 618-223-8384.
Welcome back to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Dr. Ben Witherington is our guest. We're talking about this stone tablet that has some writing on it. Some people say it's about a resurrected Messiah. Dr. Witherington, I'm fascinated, too, by the fact that this is not inscribed but written on, but it seems to be more than what archaeologists find all the time, which is kind of ancient graffiti. This isn't just some sort of offhand scribblings of someone. This seems to be someone is putting this down as a sacred text. Tell us about that.
Well, what is one of the most fascinating features of these some 87 lines is, and it's actually only a partial text, I mean, some of it's missing, is that we keep hearing the phrase, thus saith Yahweh. The text is in unpointed Hebrew. We have what we would call the prophetic formula, which preceded a prophet's words, whether it would be in Amos or Micah or Isaiah or whoever it might be.
Thus saith the Lord.
It's clearly intended to be a prophetic text of some kind. But here's the interesting thing. The one who seems to be speaking the word of God is not a human prophet, but rather an angel, in particular the angel Gabriel. Now, what makes this especially interesting is that that is characteristic of apocalyptic literature like we find in the book of Revelation. In all of the early Jewish apocalypses, an angel is the mediator of God's message to human beings. So this is a apocalyptic prophetic text that uses the prophetic formula to signal at what points God is speaking.
Then I guess one final question. Is the text, as we find it there on this stone tablet, known anywhere else?
No, absolutely not. This text is absolutely unique. It has a variety of interesting and unique features. It seems to call the messianic figure, if it is referring to a human being, the Prince of Princes, which, you know, we have the Prince of Peace, but we've not heard about the Prince of Princes. But that's very interesting. It doesn't call him a king, it calls him a prince of princes. So there are a lot of interesting features that are going to be worth some pondering for a long time to come.
Do we think then, I know that there are collections of intertestamental literature that are now accessible in English and other languages.
Right.
And do you think that the editors of such references need to get busy getting this text into those volumes?
Well, it needs to show up in some collection. In my estimation, probably the smart thing to do would be to include it with collections of the Dead Sea texts. And since there are still some volumes of fragments of the Dead Sea that have still not yet been published, maybe this one could be published in an appendix or with one of the final collections that Princeton University is publishing for us of clear texts of both the original Hebrew and then the translations as well. So, you know, this is sort of a preview of coming attractions, but I have no doubt that scholars are going to be talking about this for till the kingdom comes.
Dr. Ben Witherington is professor of New Testament interpretation at Asbury Theological Seminary in Wilmore, Kentucky, author of more than 30 books, including The Jesus Quest and The Paul Quest. He also has a website, benwitherington.com. BenWitherington.com. Thank you so much for being our guest, Dr. Witherington.
I'm glad to be with you. Take care.